I love the pictures. I love to study history. I love the pictures of the parades at the end of the war, particularly the pictures in New York of people celebrating the end of the war in Europe. All the ticker tape parades and the paper falling from skyscrapers. People in the streets, young men and women embracing and celebrating. People celebrating who don't know each other, together, with excitement, because they were celebrating something significant. I love a good championship parade as well. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. My Huskers were to ever win again. I love those. But when you compare those to the parades after the World War, there's a bit of trivialness to them. It's a championship and a trophy. But when I look back at when they celebrated the end of World War II, there was nothing trivial about it. It was pure euphoria because it represented something. The news that the war was over meant in Europe there was no more death, no more fighting, no more war, no more battles, no more fear of a telegram at the door, no more calling for young men to be shipped off with their fate literally unknown. No more war, which meant peace, which meant no more death in that war. When we see those pictures, we can just imagine how sweet the news would have been that the war is over and peace reigns again. Well, it's with that same sentiment that we find ourselves in Isaiah 52, where God delivers to the people of God good news for the people of God. They had found themselves year after year and for so long and either in captivity of foreign nations, being overruled by foreign nations, at risk of being overruled by foreign nations. Their people and their nation felt the turmoil, felt the agony of being away, felt the stress of the unknown. And so we see the good news of the messenger here. So in verse 52, chapter 52, verse 1, he says, "Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion." Oh, I picture little kids on Christmas morning. You know what I'm talking about? Every family's got a "you cannot" before. You know what I'm talking about? You cannot. Christmas doesn't start before. Now, some families at 7 a.m., some families at 6 a.m., some families, well, I don't know what time that was. But what do little kids say when the clock finally strikes? They say, "Get up, get up. It's Christmas morning. Wake up, wake up." What are you guys tired about? We all went to bed early, right? What are you parents so tired about? Awake, awake, he says, put on your strength, O Zion, so the people of God, put on your beautiful garments. Get your Sunday best. Get it. Get your beautiful clothes. Get your best, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. No more will other nations come into your city and into your nation. No more. This is good news. So he says, awake and hear this good news. In fact, it's such good news, I want you to recognize that and to realize that. And then we're going to celebrate that, not with what we have, not with something casual. We're going to put on our best. Put on our most beautiful garments, for things are about to change. In verse 2, he says, "Shake yourselves from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." The very things that hold you down, the shackles that keep you in captivity, both literally and figuratively, he says, loosen those because they're no more. You're free now in a way that you weren't before. Loosen the shackles from your neck. Oh, captive daughter of Zion, we now are free, he says. This is good news. Awake and hear this. Verse 3, "For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them for nothing." This is where sometimes I think the ESV is the smart kid in class, and it's a little confusing to follow. "My people went down there first into Egypt." They went there to live there. They went there to be there. You remember the story in Genesis. God's people went down to live in Egypt, but they didn't stay free. It wasn't long before they were ruled over. They were held captive, and they were slaves in Egypt. But the Egyptians paid nothing for them, and the Assyrians oppressed them for nothing. Verse 5, "Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord? Seeing that my people are taken away for nothing, their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised." The people who rule over God's people look down on God's people. They mock the name of the God that they follow and they cling to. They say things like, "If your God is powerful, then why are you still in captivity? If your God is all powerful, why are you still here? If your God's good, why is your life not good? If your God is great, then why are you here, oppressed and enslaved?" Continually, all the day, the name of the Lord is despised. But God says, "What have we here? Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am." He's reminded them that though for this moment he has stepped back in these moments before, and his name has been run through the mud, it has been despised, he says, "I am coming." God's people are not forgotten, though they feel like it. They're not abandoned, though they may think that. He says, "In that day, they shall know it is I who speak." Okay, who's they? Who is it? Here's the best part, ready? It's all they. It's the foreign rulers will know the power of the God of Israel. The people of Israel will once again be reminded that their God is a personal God, who cares for each of them and knows them by name, for he has named them and called them. He's that God. He's the one who says that you will know that it is I who speak, for here I am. They will know who it is. So here is this message for God's people. Awake, awake. Put on your Sunday best, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Shake yourself free from the shackles and the bonds that tie you down. For they once despised my name, but my name will be lifted up again. Verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Isaiah paints this wonderful picture of the messenger who brings good news. And he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. We can picture what it would have been like for them to have a news runner, someone running from war to bring updates of news from the front lines. Who's winning and who's losing? Current casualties and costly defeats and glorious victories. Runners would run. And all the hilly mountains of the region, you can just picture a young boy or young girl running through these mountains with this message from the front lines. And people could have seen them coming, but they would have had to wait for the message to be delivered. And you would have looked out maybe and tried to discern from the pep in their step or their shrug in their shoulders whether or not this was good news or bad news. But they would have had to wait for the runner coming over the hills. And it would have been glorious when that messenger delivered good news. It would have been wonderful. In fact, he says, it's beautiful. Upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Back then, you could imagine how slow news came and how fast rumors flew. No modern forms of communication. Obviously no telephones and technology. And so what did you wait? You waited on people with a message of news. And then you waited and you waited and you waited. And when that news finally came, how wonderful and good it was. We don't wait in the same way that they do. We don't wait. We have news at our fingertips. We have news instantly, right? If we want to find something out across the world, we can find it out almost as it happens. That's not the way it used to be. We had to wait for news of important events like elections and results. We had to wait for really important news like snow days. Anybody my age around here or older? Like even my age, like if there was a snow day, we huddled around the radio like we were waiting for some Roosevelt fireside chat, right? Like we just waited around waiting for them to say, in no school, Beatrice, Nebraska, like, right? Or you'd watch the news and they'd have a little ticker on the bottom. And it'd be in alphabetical order. Adams. Beatrice, right? Like, and you just wait, or you missed it and have to go all the way down and wait for it to come back around, and you sit there and just stare at the screen. Or you woke up that morning and you heard the beautiful sound of your parents' feet opening the door and say, hey, go back to bed. No school today. Oh, how wonderful. Oh, my school teacher friends here today, we love you guys. We just really love school days and snow days, and I know you do too. But that's not the way it works today. What happens now? Now you get a text on your phone. As soon as the superintendent thinks about canceling school, the text goes out. Boom, and we get it, and it's wonderful. It's glorious, but news comes fast. There was times that we had to wait for that good news to come. We had to wait to hear. But he says, hear how wonderful it is when we hear that good news. So what is this good news? And what does it matter for us? So he says, it's beautiful are the feet who brings good news, who publishes or announces. And so you can think of this kind of a couple ways. One, publishes like an announcement on a city board for all the people to come and read and to see it. Yes, publishes that way. also can encompass those that were to announce it. So the city crier, if you will, he'd come into the city commons area and pronounce or announce something. I'm going to pronounce or publish peace. Hey, I've got news from the front lines. The war is over. There's now peace here. Going to announce, I'm going to publish, I'm going to hang up news where there is peace, where there wasn't peace. He says it's good news for those who brings news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So if you will, let's walk through these briefly. We get to announce as followers of Christ the good news of the gospel and the peace that we have with God. That peace gives us peace today, that we are right, that we are made right with our Heavenly Father, that though sin has separated us, the grace of Christ has given us peace because we know that in Jesus our sins are forgiven. You know what the opposite of unknowing brings us is anxiety. Right? Knowing can bring tremendous peace. We have peace in Christ, not because we have earned it, but because he has given it to us. And the message came to us, and that's good news that we have peace, and it's good news when we tell other people of the peace that we have. Who brings good news of happiness? With victory comes joy. With victory comes joy. One of my favorite pictures I have of my mother, who I don't think will watch this service, usually the second one. It's okay if she does. One of my favorite pictures of my mom, it's a picture I have of her after the St. Mary's game. St. Mary's, right, Kyler? The boys won this playoff game, and it was wonderful and joyful. And my son was out there, and the game was over in overtime, and we won. And I looked back at my mom holding her camera with sweet tears in her eyes. And it's a game, and she knows it's a game. It's all a game. But so much happiness, so much joy from victory. And if that's true, after a basketball game, who cares? How much more true is their happiness after our salvation is secured? If that's true that much joy comes after a game, and that's great that it does, how much more happiness do we have when our salvation is secured because he has made victory over our sins? That good news brings happiness for us, pure joy. The gospel is what? Good news. So when we announce that salvation, that's good news. How can our sins be forgiven? I've got good news in Christ that can be. How, in our world that seems chaotic, what's good news in our world that seems like chaos, in which things are changing and there's difficult times here and abroad? Where's the good news there? You know what it is? Here it is. God still reigns. He's still in control. He's still on his throne. He hasn't lost. He hasn't abandoned his people then. He hasn't abandoned his people now. Our God reigns, and it's good news. In fact, it's beautiful. The feet that takes that good news, that there's peace, that there's joy, and there's salvation because our God reigns. And that doesn't stop with them. That continues on with us as well. I love when the New Testament interprets the Old Testament for us. Now, we can see how the New Testament uses this. Paul quotes this passage in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. So he says, how then will they call on him whom they have not heard? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Paul says it's still true for us as New Testament believers. How beautiful are the feet to take the good news of the gospel where the good news isn't yet believed, isn't yet followed. We get to be those feet. We get to be the messengers of God. We get to be his runners. We get to send out people. We as a church get to send out people who will take that message to faraway places, to places that don't yet know that. We get to raise up people. And praise God, we have done that and seen that. We have seen people from our body come, faithfully follow Christ, and then we have got behind them and prayed for them and then sent them out. Sometimes in places in the States and sometimes in faraway places in the world. But we raise up and we raise up missionaries to go. Then we support them. Because how beautiful are the feet are those who take the gospel to those places. You see, this is not a mission that we made up. It's one that we simply carry out that God has commanded us and reminded us to. So because God's word says, beautiful are the feet of those who take his word out, we want to continue to be a church that is faithful to take his good news out. We want to be faithful people that raise up people and support them financially, through prayer, continue to send them well, to remind them why it is that they are sent. One of our missionaries said this. They said, we feel so loved by the church. We feel so supported by the church, both through prayers and encouraging notes and letters, through finances, so supported. But you know what help us? Sometimes on our dark days when we're all alone, we need to be reminded why we are here. And that really is worth all the sacrifice. Isaiah 52 reminds us why it's worth it. Because beautiful are the feet who bring good news to weary souls. We get to send people, but we also get to be sent. Oh, some will go places. Some will be sent. But for most of us, we will get sent out right where we are, where God has put you right now. The good news of Jesus is still good news for them. Sometimes I think we think we've got to go somewhere exotic to be faithful. But what if we were simply faithful wherever God called us to be? That we are faithful where God has us, where God has put us. I think how beautiful are the feet that take gospel to little hearts. How beautiful are the feet of mothers and grandmothers and aunts singing sweet lullabies of God's truth over little tender babies, reminding toddlers that they are loved beyond they can imagine by the God who knows them and made them. Oh, how sweet and beautiful are the feet who bring good news to little hearts. How wonderful and beautiful is it when dads and granddads and uncles and mentors live faithfully, sharing and showing this generation and the generations to come the good news of Jesus Christ and how it transforms families and generations. That's good news. And those are beautiful feet living that call out. But this isn't all skate. This is a message for all of us. It's not a message simply for priests or the Levites or special people. This is for all of us. Because how beautiful are the feet of little kids in school or with their friends, sharing the good news of who Jesus is. Beautiful are the feet of those people at work, with care and compassion for the people they work with, praying for opportunities to be able to share that good news with them. Here's my encouragement. Church, in so many ways, you're doing this. In so many ways, I get to hear stories of people living this out. I talked to a young man this week, and he asked me, we're gathering together. Do you got anybody in mind that we might add to our group? Those are beautiful feet taking the good news to someone else. I think of opportunities all around us, opportunities that many of you are taking. High school kids making space and time, inviting their friends to come to church, to youth ministry, to events. I see around us people inviting people, loving people, taking the good news to where God has you. Church, let us not grow weary of doing good. For this message continues and will always be good news for a weary people who need to hear it. So church, awake. Awake. Let us come alive again and again and again. Not growing tired, not growing lethargic, not resting on what we have, but staying diligent and sharp and ambitious and motivated that we might take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to places and people who desperately need to hear it or need to be reminded of it. So we are faithful where God has us if we continue to reach people with his good news. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the good news of salvation and peace and hope that you bring. Help us to be a faithful messenger today and all of our days. May our life and our words point people to the truth that you reign, that you're in control, that there is real peace, that there's real salvation. So God, give us boldness to share and compassion to see those who need your message. And we look to you. And we pray it all in your name. Amen.